as we were planning this trip,
does everybody have one of these?
Yes.
As we were planning this trip, every year I write a special Bible lesson series that goes along with this. And this year, I'm doing something a little out of my comfort zone in a way. These sessions are not the normal type of thing I many times do. If you've heard me speaking in the gathering place or in the nature center and stuff like this, in Bible sessions, or in the Woodlands or in the Elk Room or wherever your group meets at Fort, or if I've been to your church or something and spoke there, these are a little different than what I sometimes do. But it's really interesting how God put these things in my mind, because I've been praying, literally I've been praying since last, like October, okay, God, what am I supposed to speak on? And these came to me many weeks ago, and I put these things together. And I'm just calling this the Seashore Bible Sessions, because I'm going to take a lot of things having to do with what we're coming across here. And this first lesson tonight is entitled Sand. Whoop, 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 whoop. Sound like Curly on here. Whoop, 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 whoop. Yeah, I don't know. It's really windy, as you can tell here. And we are recording these. And if we'll see how this records tonight. If it's too windy, then whatever. But yeah, that's what I've got, so many different little microphones all over the place here. But tonight we're going to be talking about sand, entitled This Sand, because you probably by now, even after just one day, you probably have had sand all over, in your shoes, on your legs, maybe even in your underwear. I don't know. If you sit, yep, it's been happening. And you get it down in your swimsuit, and it's uncomfortable and stuff. But sand is a really interesting thing. So tonight we're going to talk about sand, and the other nights as you look through the thing, you can see there's something having to do with, like, in a way, a marine biology theme to a lot of this stuff, or a tropical island theme to some of these lessons. So tonight, as we do this, let's open in prayer, and we're going to ask God to just continue to bless us here tonight and ask His Spirit, Lord, to do the teaching, because it tells us in the book of Corinthians that it is the Holy Spirit that actually teaches. You know, I put words together. God gives me ideas to what to put down and stuff like this, but it's the Holy Spirit who is actually going to do something inside of you. And that's what my prayer has been for months, that during these sessions, you really hear the Spirit of God speaking to you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and prepare our hearts for this. Lord, we do thank you for this day you've given us. Though it is a bit windy, it's been a beautiful day. It's been warm, and we've seen a lot of interesting things. We've collected a lot of cool organisms. And tonight, Lord, we just ask that as we settle down now, and after praising you with song, we now are asking that we take a time of worship where you, Lord, teach us. You know the thoughts and the condition of each person here. You know what each person's needs are. I do not. I just pray that you take what you have given me, and as I make an attempt to get this across, that, Lord, you would just take these words and use them. Speak to us, dear God. Let us know you're there. And Lord, don't just let things go in one ear and out the other here, but may we really examine our lives, and may we really examine our relationship with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Did you ever feel lonely? Left out? I'm sure you have. Does God really hear when you talk to God? Does God really hear? I remember back when I was a little boy, I think I was probably about 5, maybe 6 years old. And I remember a guy coming and talking, an adult man. He was an older man, and he came and he said some words to me that even at that age stuck in my head, that I can still remember this distinctly like it happened yesterday, where he said to me, God is real. God is real. That's true. But he does not have time to listen to you. God is very busy. He does not have the chance to listen to every single person on this planet. Yeah, he's real. No doubt about it. But you don't matter to him. And I remember that conversation, that person telling me that so distinctly, and it really was totally against what, even at 5 years old, what I was taught. You see, God really does know who you are. He is God, and God does know us. He knows us well. In this container here that I have on the table and in my hand, I have a lot of sand. This is sand from the Florida Keys. Imagine that. Sand from the Florida Keys. I just went over to the beach over there and picked it up. Yeah, isn't that cool? A lot of sand. And as I pick up a handful of sand, and you look at sand, and when you guys have been, you know, coming back from your excursions, you got sand on you and stuff, you look at the sand, you feel the sand, and the thing is, even if I dump it, I still have sand all over my hand. The thing is, you don't know much about that sand, do you? I mean, you can see it sitting here in this container. You can see there's sand there. But what do you know about trying to get one grain of sand here? There we go. No, it's two. There's one. There we go. I got one grain of sand now between my fingers. What do you know about this one grain of sand?
The Lord knows it.
The Lord knows it. True. I don't know anything about this. Now, you know, I could maybe put it under a microscope and look at it or something like that. But this little grain of sand is important enough that God designed this piece of sand to be here on this beach. That sand is that important to God. Remember, when there was before anything, there was God and there was nothing else. And then God created certain things and he created the molecules that make up the sand. And it's important. He has that kind of knowledge and he cares about even a grain of sand that we can't even see. No, there's too much sand here for us to even begin to try and study. You didn't make it. I didn't make it. But God made it and God knows it. God knows each grain of sand in that container. He knows each grain of sand over there on that beach. He knows each grain of sand that's down here on the bottom of the sea all the way across the oceans. He knows every single grain of sand because he created that sand. It's hard for us to fathom this because we have finite minds. We can't quite comprehend that. But God is beyond our mental capacities. The problem we often have is when we try and take God and put him inside like a box and he has to fit inside of our scientific world or our knowledge or our philosophical ideas that we try and make him fit into this to be able to explain God. The thing is, that can't work because God is beyond any box that we could ever put him in. God is beyond science. He is beyond philosophy. He is beyond this universe. Astronauts have been up in space. They have not seen God. Sometimes they've made fun of that. Yeah, I went up there. I didn't see God. There's no God. Really? You think God is just floating around on a cloud with a big long white beard with a pair of binoculars watching everybody? I don't think so. Because God knows every single thing and he is everywhere. It's beyond human comprehension. We can't figure this out. And he's got to be laughing at us about us trying to figure this out. We can't do it. Do you know that God actually referred to his chosen people, Israel, as sand? He does this a couple times in the Bible. He actually refers to them as sand. If you go back and you look in the book of Hosea, chapter 1, verse 10, he's talking about his people, and he says this, "Yet the numbers of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered." Yet God knows the people of Israel who were present then and who haven't even been born yet. God knew them. And he still knows them. He knows all of them. He knew you even before you were born. He has such a knowledge of this kind of thing. He made the children of Israel. He knows them. He was their father. He took, of all the nations in the world, he picked Israel. I don't know why, but he picked Israel to make his special people. He blessed them by giving them his word. I mean, no other nation got this. They got it. They were supposed to be beacons of light to all of the world, and they made a lot of bad decisions. But God knew them. He knows all the people. Just like he knows all the sand on the seashore, God knows all the people. God knows all of us. Look what he says to a little boy in the book of Jeremiah. If you go to the book of Jeremiah, open up the first chapter. A lot of people like this verse because it's a very encouraging verse. God says this to this little boy. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. God has a distinct knowledge of each one of you. It says in the Bible that not even, in Matthew chapter 10, it says that not even a sparrow will fall to the earth without the Father knowing it. It says also in Matthew 10:30 that he knows the hairs on your head. He knows how many hairs you actually have on your head. Now, in some cases, like Todd back there, he doesn't have to count as high. In some people, he doesn't have to count much. But in others, he has to count a lot. But he knows them all. This isn't talking about like, oh, wow, God has actually numbered each one of my hairs. What he's saying is, I know you so well, I know everything about you. That's what he is saying here. Don't get caught up in this, oh, about the hairs on. He is saying, I know everything about you. He just doesn't know about the hairs in the head. He knows about you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He just doesn't know you. He cares for you. But I know there's going to be times when you feel lonely. I know that. There's going to be times you feel left out. I know that. I've been there. Every adult out here has been there. That's not unusual. I remember my first day of going to undergrad at college. I went to Olivet Nazarene University. I still remember like the first week of school. And I didn't know one person on the campus. Not one person. And when I got there, I remember the few friends or people who I'd met and got associated with, they all took off. And one night I was just all by myself. I had no place to go, nobody with me or anything. And I felt so alone, even though I was on a campus with thousands of people. I ended up walking down and going to the church that was on the campus there. If you've ever been to Olivet Nazarene, there's a place called College Church. Big church there. And I went up to the church and I sat on the top steps of the church. I didn't go inside, I just sat on the top steps. And I sat there in the sun, I was facing the sun, and I remember sitting and watching the sun go down. And when I got there and sat down, I was so lonely. And I was like, man, everybody has deserted me. And I sat here and I was looking all around feeling sorry for myself. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, I'm not alone. God is with me. My first week at grad school in Southern Illinois University. I remember going there. I knew only about one or two people on the campus. And that's a huge university. I had a couple of students that I had taught that were going to school there. But I was on the other side of campus from where they were. And I'll tell you, moving into my dorm room, had a room for myself, and I was so lonely. My family was back home 300 miles away. Amanda was just not even 3 years old. She was just a couple of years old at that point. And I was gone and down there, and I was like, man, I'm really alone. But then again, I started thinking, I'm not alone because God cares for me. God loves me. When you feel unloved, when you feel like nobody cares for you, and it's gonna happen. It might happen already on this trip. You might already be feeling, because some of you have come here without knowledge of anybody else. Some of you have very close friends that are here. But not everybody knows every single person here. And one of the beautiful things about being down here on this trip is the friendships you make. There's probably at least one person sitting here that is feeling alone, just like I did when I was at Olivet and in Southern Illinois. And they feel like, man, nobody really cares for me. Well, as a Christian, we shouldn't let people feel like that. We need to go out of our way to make people feel welcome, just before we started tonight, there was a guy standing down here by the volleyball courts. And I got talking to him. And he was saying that he's feeling lonely. And he says, you know, you guys are a church group. He said, tell me about it. And I started talking to him about our thing. And he said, are you going to do an Easter service? I said, yeah. He says, would you mind if I came and sat with your group? I said, I would love for you to come and sit with us. I said, you can come even tonight. You can come anytime over here. We will make you feel welcome. Because that's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus commands of each one of us. That we make everybody feel welcome. Because Jesus puts his spirit inside of us, and his spirit, who knows everything and everybody, wants us to do this with other people too. That we get to know each other and get to be friends with everybody, and we don't let people sit and feel left out. But if you are sitting like that right now, or sometime in the future, you go to college or whatever, you're going to feel like this, just remember, you're never alone. If you are a born-again Christian, the Spirit of God is living inside of you. That was the comfort I got sitting on the church steps that night. God is actually living inside of me. God knows all of us. He cares for each one of us. And even when you go through these darkest hours, and you will go through them, you will have times where you're going to feel really left out. When you're going to feel like nobody cares, nobody wants you around. Just remember, the Spirit of God is inside of you if you're a born-again Christian. You're never alone. And also, you have Christian brothers and sisters. Now, sometimes they won't know how you're feeling. You've got to let them know. If you're feeling lonely in a group like this, nothing to be ashamed of. You just say, you know, I really don't know a lot of people here. I really wish I could get in and get to know some of you. Some of you have such close relationships with others. Man, I wish I had that. There might be somebody sitting here right now that does not have any close friends at all. I don't know. I don't know all of you. But I can't help but think in a group even as small as this is, that there's got to be somebody here who is suffering like that. And if you are in that type of situation, remember you're not alone. And there are people here who do care for you. There is a God who loves you. But don't be afraid to go up to someone and say, you know, as Michael was talking tonight, I feel like that little one grain of sand that instead of being in the sand, in the container here of sand, I feel like I am way over here, totally left out. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to make sure that sand is not alone. So I give you a challenge tonight and throughout this week. Think of the other people who are here. You might have a really close friend here, but there might be somebody sitting right here who does not. Try to befriend them. Try to get to know people. Also, if you are the one sitting there and feeling like you're left out, remember God loves you, he knows you, and he makes some promises. Let me show you. I have news for you here. First of all, he wrote you 66 love letters. That's what the Bible really is. It's 66 love letters written to you. Everything you need to know to go through life about him, and everything is in here. What do you do with love letters? You take them out and you read them. I know some of you have had love letters. I know people have written love letters. And when you get them, you know what I'm talking about. You pull them back out. Boy, some people are really smiling big right now. You get the love letters out, you read them again. You put it away in a special place and you pull them back out, you read them again. When you're lonely, you really do that. When you're not around your loved one, you pull out love letters and stuff. My wife has a tendency, I'm going to embarrass her. My wife has a tendency when I go speaking at some place, look at this, she already shook her head. That she will write little love notes and put them in my luggage. Aww. One time she did that with a post-it note, and she stuck it in my underwear. And the next morning I got up to get dressed to go speak someplace, and I put on my underwear. I was like, man, these are so uncomfortable. What's going on? And sure enough, I pull it out. I love you. I'm going to hear about this tonight. But in these love letters in the book of Deuteronomy, God writes in Deuteronomy 23, verse 5, says, the Lord your God loves you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. And he wrote this over and over in these love letters, how much he loves us. Sometimes I know you can feel really down. You feel as if all your friends have walked away. Sometimes you even feel like God's walked away from you. You feel lonely, you feel hurt. And it's in those lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus really, if you search, he lets you know he's there. His spirit lives inside of him. If you are a born-again Christian, you have his love letters. Take them out. That's when you sit and you go over these things. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Hebrews 13, 5. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what these are? These are promises made by God. God makes a promise, he keeps it. We make promises, we are human, we make errors, and we sometimes fall down on fulfilling our promises. God cannot do that because God makes a promise, he is vowing against himself. How many times have you said something, I swear to God, this is the truth, or I swear to God, I will do this, and then we still don't do it. God, when he makes a promise, he's basically saying, I swear by my own self, I'm going to do it. And because he is perfect and holy, he will always come through. He will never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes he gets quiet. And I will tell you, it's in those quiet moments, you're not alone. I have counseled some people who have gone through some major tragedies in their life. I remember one time talking to a person who had just a terrible experience in their life. I went to them, I went over, sat down with them, put my hand on the shoulder, and I didn't say anything. But they felt my presence, they felt my touch, and they knew I was there. When my dad died back in 1996, I was at school. I got a phone call. He was dying. There was nothing I could do about it. After he died, I sat in my lab that night. At my school, three students came into my classroom. Everybody in the school knew what had happened. Three students came in. Val, Sarah, and Janine. Three of my students. Sarah was a Christian. The other two weren't, but Sarah was. I was sitting at my desk, totally despondent. There was a knock at my door. My door was open, and it was those three girls. And they said, can we come in? I said, sure, come on in. And they came in. As they're walking in, and we said, we know about what happened, and we're sorry. Sarah came over, stood right on my right side. I'm sitting on a chair. Val was right here. Jean sat right across from me at my desk. They pulled up chairs. They just all sat there. I couldn't even look at them. I just sat and looked at my desk. All three of those girls put their hands like on my arm or my shoulder. And I don't know how long they were there. I want to say it was probably about a half hour. It was one of the best counseling sessions I ever went through in my life. They did not say a word. Too many times we think that we have to counsel somebody and have wise advice and stuff like this. I'm telling you, one of the best things you can do in counseling is just be there with your presence. Just sit, be there. You don't have to say magic words. Just put your hand there. It's one of the most comforting things. It was a moment I will never forget my entire life. And the thing is, God is right there also. And his spirit is just inside of us. Next time Satan lashes out at you with this feeling of loneliness, this feeling of despair, this feeling of depression, that you're unloved, and he tells you you're unloved, don't listen to his lies. You open up the love letters from God. Read these love letters. Over and over, you're going to see God saying how much he loves you. And what I'm going to do tonight is to help you to remember this. I'm going to give every single person here tonight a culture tube. It's glass, so don't drop them. Brand new culture tubes. What I want you to do, sometime tonight, after the session, I want you to fill up your vial with sand. Souvenir from the Keys. And I want to take this vial home with you. And anytime Satan starts coming to you saying, you're not worthy, you're nothing, no one cares about you, just look at that sand and just remember this. God knows every single one of those grains of sand. And if God knows every single one of those grains of sand, you are so much more important to Him than those grains of sand, and He knows you. Put this someplace, carry it with you, put it where you're going to be tempted by Satan the most to start feeling despondent and depressed. Put this thing there and remember this moment that God loves you. He cares, He knows every single one of the grain of sands in here. He knows you too. So take this with you. God knows you by name. He knows you by name. You're not just some figure like that guy I heard when I was 5 years old. Look at these promises. He knows you by name. He knows all about you and your heartache. Whatever your heartache is, God knows it. God promises that He cares for you. It's a promise in His Word. He cares for you, cares deeply about you. He loves you so much that words cannot even express how deep this love is He has for you. He knows every one of these grains. He knows you. And He will never, ever desert you or leave you. A promise He swears on His own name, which He cannot break. He sometimes is quiet, and it's in those quiet moments you can feel His presence. You can read His love letters, and that's what He's really wanting you to do. So when you get ready to pick up here tonight and leave, I want everybody to grab a vial. You can fill it here or fill it over to the beach. You can take a little quiet moment out there if you want, or you can fill it from here, that's fine. But I want every one of you to take one of these with you and keep this with you. And remember the promises. You can even take a Sharpie pen or something and write right on here. God knows the sand. He knows me much more. And He'll always, always be there. Father, we thank You so much for this time we have here tonight. And I don't know what's going on in the group, but usually on the first night and the first couple of days on a trip like this, we get some people who just don't feel like they're fitting in, or they're feeling homesick because they're not with their loved ones at home. But Lord, please help everybody to know that You love them, that You care for them. You know everything about us. Even before we were born, You knew us. And Lord, also for all of us who are walking close with You, help us to search people out who may be hurting, maybe going through some hardship. There might be something going on back home we don't know about, and somebody's really carrying a really heavy load. Lord, You know what it is, but please help us to help carry some of that. That's one reason that You leave us here after we're saved, that You don't just immediately take us to heaven. We have a ministry here among everybody else. And Lord, I pray that Your Spirit will continue to speak to us tonight and have these words go upon us. And Lord, help us to seek out and love. Jesus, You said that people would know us by the love that we have for each other, that would be an indicator of our species here, of who we are in You. Lord, help us to fulfill that. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have on each night put a couple of questions that are there for your small group. When you guys go back to your Habitat groups and stuff tonight, I ask the leaders just to spend a few moments. It won't take long, but just sit and spend a few moments talking and answering the questions.